people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's the end of the world.
I ain't going with it. I'll go with Childs.
Hey, fuck you, Parker!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down.
Welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends from the Holmes Movies podcast team. I nearly screwed up that introduction there. I had a little bit of a brain fart where I was like, Holmes Movies, bleh, and then, but I saved it. I saved it. It's good.
No, you didn't. You just fucked it up.
I didn't. Was it?
You tried to say the intro. You didn't. You nearly fucked up. Then you didn't. And then you told everyone about how you nearly fucked up, thereby fucking it up.
Anyways, here's Adam.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Your t-shirt is very adorable.
Oh, thank you.
Adam is wearing a t-shirt that says a Martin Scorsese picture on it.
Yeah, I bought this from a website called Redbubble. They sell like memorabilia and you can get like themed t-shirts and things like that. I got another one, another Martin Scorsese one, which is basically the Marvel logo, but it spells Martin Scorsese. I got that around the time when, you know, when he sort of went after Marvel films. And
everything. Oh God, that feels like decades ago. Do you remember when we were all talking about that instead of COVID and racial hatred and you know, government corruption and Russians murdering American soldiers? Do you remember when it was just Marvel versus old movie directors? Those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah, simpler times, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, have you seen this like controversy with Christopher Nolan?
I thought it was just a bit of a joke. I don't think.
No, it's like. The weird,
just like he said he doesn't want chairs on his sets because he doesn't want people.
Here's the
thing. Reminds me of that bit in Family Guy. They don't want people leaning on it.
Here's the thing. I just like the whole chair fiasco thing just boggled my head so much. I don't know. I got so
confused. He's a movie director. He's supposed to be eccentric. Sam Fuller used to point guns at people.
No, but the thing is, everybody who retweeted that quote where Anne Hathaway says he doesn't allow chairs on sets because there's a risk that people will not be will be lazy and not work. As someone who has been on movie sets, I agree with that. When you sit down, you're not working, because most of the time when you're in a movie set, you are running around making sure that everything's, you know, making sure that, you know, you're not wasting money and things like that. You don't want to like sit down and be like, okay, I'll let somebody else do it, because then no one's going to take you seriously. So, and otherwise nothing's going to get done. And a lot of people who were commenting on this and like saying, fuck Nolan and you fucking pushy and shit. Like,
it's the internet. Of course, you could tweet out, Anne Hathaway could have said, Christopher Nolan doesn't like milk in his tea. And people would have been like, fuck you.
Yeah, but it's the amount, like people really got.
I've told you a million times. It feels like I have to sit down with you once a year and just take you by the shoulders as a big brother and say, look, it's Twitter. Everyone on Twitter is an idiot.
Yeah, I know.
Just leave it out. It's fine.
Even his spokespeople had to be like, he doesn't hate chairs. He actually does allow chairs on sets. He even sits on one when he's at the monitor watching the shots. The only thing he bans, the only things he bans are cigarettes and mobile phones.
Fuck off, mate. As a former smoker, of course you should be allowed to smoke. It's the movies. If you're not smoking, you're not in show business. And B, phones. Like, what if I want to, you know, check for the Arsenal score? What do I have? What do I do then? What if I want to go for a fag and check what the score is? And what if I want to watch the Arsenal match between scenes? Now I'm angry. I don't give a shit about the chairs, but if I can stand up and smoke a cigarette and look at Arsenal Twitter, yeah, then, you know, that's a happy worker.
No, but I just felt like...
I know, I'm never watching one of those films again. That's it, I'm boycotting him.
Yeah, I know, but it was just like... It was
cigarettes. What's wrong with him? In the film industry, there's probably people doing rails, like fucking mountain drifts of coke off, you know, tables because they don't, you know, and standing at the tables because they don't have chairs. And you know, and doing all sorts of weird, like, showbiz drugs. And, you know, one, you know, an older character actor shows up and he's got a pack of Marlboros and he wants to step outside and have a cigarette. And Chris Williams like, no, arrest that man.
Get him away. Get him off my set.
What on earth?
Yeah, well, I mean, Tarantino, he bans phones from his sets and he doesn't allow... Well, I feel like there's also another funny thing that he does. And I mean, Kurt Russell has said in interviews, like, when you're working on a Tarantino set, you got to come to play. You can't be lazy or anything like that. And apparently he was talking about this on the Graham Norton show when he was doing press work for The Hateful Eight. And apparently, like, if there's a moment where people, like, are taking a nap or falling asleep on set because they're tired or whatever, they get this guy's over here sleeping, get Big Richie, and Big Richie is basically a big dildo that they just shove in people's faces while they're sleeping, and then they take a picture of it, and then they have, like, a whole Hollywood Wall of Fame of, like, people sleeping with a big dildo in their face.
That sounds like definite workplace bullying, but okay. I mean, there's a great story, they showed
one picture of Brad Pitt from Inglourious Basterds where he's just, like, asleep, and then there's, like, in the frame, there's, like, this big purple, like, thing.
I guess it's one thing when it's Brad Pitt, but if it's you get into interesting territory if you're doing that to your female co-stars. But anyway,
yeah.
Dildos aside, there's a great story about Victor McLaglen. And, you know, like, John Ford used to run, like, a pretty tyrannical set. And if you, I mean, talk about coming to play. I mean, this is the thing about these twerps. You know, they've got nothing on the old school directors. And, of course, like, laziness in any organization, like, is not good for morale and it doesn't do anything. But this idea that you have to be sort of, this feels very corporate, this culture of, like, running around like a blue ass fly, having, you know, doing something all the time, because actually ends up not being very productive. But, you know, in any case, I think the old Hollywood guys, I mean, they would laugh at this because, you know, if you slacked off on a John Ford set, you were essentially murdered. But the one person who could do that was Victor McLaglen, and apparently John Ford would be there, like, barking orders at everyone. And there was that thing he used to do where if you fucked up, he'd say, assume the position, and then you had to bend over and he'd kick you in the butt. But Victor McLaglen would just lie down, like, with a newspaper and fall asleep, and there was nothing anyone could do because he was huge and Irish, and, you know, that was it. So yeah, but I mean, I saw quite a lot of funny stuff about it yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like,
people saw that, like, there was a lot of good humor about it. I think
there was a lot of good humor, but there was also a lot of ridiculous, needless idiocy that came from people who were just like, cancel culture tried to cancel Nolan because of a fucking chair. And that just...
Yeah, and they'll cancel anything. I mean, there are people out there who want to cancel things, and rightly so.
Like, I mean, never mind the fact that there's a pandemic going on, never mind the fact about Black Lives Matter. No, one thing that grinds my gears, Christopher Nolan doesn't like chairs on his set. I am angry. And
I think those people are in a minority, though. I didn't see very much about it.
On Twitter, it feels like a big majority a little bit. But then it's just like... I don't know.
I think maybe that's, I don't know. I didn't see very much of that. I think you need to follow some different people. I mostly saw funny stuff.
I just felt the need to, I mean, especially when people, like, were slagging him off a little bit, I kind of felt the need to.
But there are people out there who abuse people for any reason. Like, you know, it's not, I mean, we've talked about this 1,000 times. This is the thing. If you're going to go on social media, you're going to get these things that are going to happen. You know, this is why the political situation is the way it is, because you know, social media has been allowed to sort of roam unregulated for as long as it has, and it does give a voice to extreme opinions, and there is a complete lack of nuance. And but right now, people are around the world are just so angry. I mean, people will lose their shit over not having to wear a mask in a supermarket, let alone whether or not Christopher Nolan has chairs on his set. And people don't like privilege, and people don't like, you know, artistic eccentricity or strange little idiosyncrasies at this time. It's like everyone has to be serious and everyone has to be angry, and it's that's social media, and that's a lot of, unfortunately, that's a lot of stuff that goes on beyond social media as well. So I don't think it's worth getting too worried about. It's just
I mean, part of me did laugh a little bit at it because I was like, people are getting angry over this, really.
And I'm sure a lot of people were doing it for fun. Like, I'm sure a lot of people were like having to laugh at, you know, saying they should cancel Christopher Nolan and not really meaning it. So
I know. It just felt like it was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, because like the whole like trying to get Tenant into cinemas, even when it's like not really safe these days to go to the cinema, I think that's been pissing off a lot of people. And I think this thing with the chairs was, it just set them off, in my opinion. I may be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably some truth to that. And I think the sort of persona that he has is one that's sort of vulnerable to becoming a bit of a symbol, because he is such a, I mean, he's quite arrogant, isn't he? And he's quite sort of full of himself. So yeah, you're gonna get some of that. I mean, that's the problem with becoming a superstar director, is that the director shouldn't really be the star, ideally. And when he becomes it, it becomes a little bit, it can muddy the waters of what he's trying to do and what the films are trying to do. What are we doing? Recommending an episode? Right. Recommending a film?
Yeah, it's my, sorry, it's your go now.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend a French film again, but it's going to be the 2006 thriller Tell No One, which is actually adapted from an American book by Harlan Coben.
That is a very good movie.
It is a very good film. It is a very interesting, I want to try and talk about it without giving too much away. Essentially, a man's wife is murdered, but 8 years later, it appears that she may not actually be dead. And that there is a conspiracy in place to that puts his life in danger, and that puts the lives of people he cares about in danger. The great thing about this film is the protagonist, played fantastically by François Cluzet. I mean, his name is Alexandre Beck. He's a doctor. He's a really good doctor. He's a pediatrician. And despite having this tremendous cross to bear of his wife's death and disappearance, he gets that out by, he lives a lonely life, he just seems to drink a lot, he has a dog, but he's obviously broken, but at work he's all professional, and he's clearly just such a great person. And it one of the things that happens is the bit like in The Fugitive, you know, it seems like he might have committed a crime, or at least the police think he has. So it's the classic setup of the wrong man, which is, you know, going back to Hitchcock and going back to, it's a tale as old as time. And there are some chase sequences in this film that are just out of this world amazing. And he is, put through the ringer, and it is a very visceral, there are moments in this film that are incredibly visceral in terms of physical pain and actual danger. There's a bit where he has to run across a motorway. He's escaping from the police, and it really feels like they did that. And I don't know how they filmed it, but it is absolutely stunningly done. There is also a bit, actually, I should say, in the chase sequence where he's in this sort of thrift story, like it's a collection of, like, it's a flea market essentially on the edges of like not on the outskirts of Paris a little bit, but within the market there are all these like restaurants and things, and one of those is this thing called there's this type of French establishment called a ganguette, where it's essentially you sit down at long tables, you eat traditional food, and in between the meals there is like a band, like an accordion band, and people get up and sing Edith Piaf and Maurice Chevalier and things like that. And the ganguette that he runs through in the film is one that I went to 5 years ago.
Really?
With friends of ours. Lily and I went with friends of ours in Paris, and it was I had no idea what I was rewatching. I hadn't seen it since then, and so it was a really nice little like, oh crap, I've been there. Anyway, so the film is great. The film is also a really good depiction of a kind of France, a kind of Paris that we don't often see in the cinema that escapes the country. I think a lot of the time we still see Paris or France as a very white place, a very kind of like cutesy traditional French place with accordion music and berets and garlic and baguettes. There are some, you know, this film takes us into the banlieues, into the like the projects essentially. There's a great character called Bruno who kind of helps out our protagonist Alexander.
I love that character. I love that moment when like Bruno and his friends kind of help him, you know, get from the police. I love that moment in the movie.
Yeah, and it's like, and there's a sequence afterwards where he's safe and he's in Bruno's car and they're driving through Paris and some like this R&B song comes on and you see people playing basketball under the over the elevated metro, and like you see a different Paris in that moment, and it feels very deliberate, but it also is subtle. It's demonstrating that this is a more of a world city than maybe we give it credit for, and more of a diverse city than is shown. And I think, you know, and there are huge problems with the kind of racial segregation that goes on with the projects on the outskirts and everything else. The film isn't dwelling on that. It's not really speaking to that at all, but just in its choice to just show it, and on its choice to include quite a diverse cast of characters is great. Speaking of the cast of characters, this film also includes a fantastic performance from Kristin Scott Thomas in French. She lives in Paris after all. And the supporting cast is just generally very good.
Yeah, it feels like a really good cast of characters, and they all feel very realistic and three-dimensional. There isn't like a caricature or anything like that. Everyone, they feel like they're your friends or your family members and things like that. And it's a really great eclectic sort of group of people.
Yeah, it's splendid. So it's a proper thrill ride.
Yeah. A lot of twists, a lot of red herring.
Yeah, plenty of twists along the way. If I was being really finicky, I might say maybe one or two twists too far. But I think generally it is a very, very fine thriller. The actual moments of peril are as exciting as anything you'll see in any of the great modern thrillers. So go check it out. It's also it's pleasingly different. There are also some great uses of music on the soundtrack. U2. There's this great moment where he suddenly realizes something and a U2 song starts playing. They use Jeff Buckley at another point. As I mentioned, there's some good like R&B and you know stuff on there. So go see it. It's different. It's widely available because it came out in 2006. So it should be very easy to watch. And because we can't travel to France if you're in America, the next best thing is watching a French film. So that's me. I will leave it there.
Mm-hmm. Have you read any of Harlan Coben's books?
No.
You want to?
Not really.
All right.
I mostly read older thrillers, to be honest. I love going back and reading like paperbacks from the Cold War. That's my rag these days.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how they were able to take like an American story and then just put it into a French context. I think that works. I think they did a really good job with that.
They did.
And the music's really good. And also,
I told you that already.
But like, also the bad guys, great. It's got great antagonists.
I thought I said I was done.
No, but I was just adding on to it. Yeah, I think I have.
This episode short, goddammit. Short.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, well, that concludes Adam's recommendation, Tell No One. Do check it out.
Tell everyone to watch Tell No One.
Yeah. Tell everyone to watch Tell No One.
Tell No One to watch La La Land.
You don't like that movie at all, do you?
I was just trying to think of a film I don't like. What other films don't I like?
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl, Face Off.
You don't like Face Off?
Oh, yeah. Closer, that's another one that's shit. I don't know, I could go through shit. Die Another Day. Well, we talked about that a lot of times. Maybe we should just do a thing where we list the worst films.
Or, like, talk about films that everyone...
Strictly loves. Ballroom. There's a crap film.
I haven't seen that. Well, I did, I'd be interested because I feel like...
made me watch it once. Awful, awful, awful.
I do feel like there's a lot of films out there that everybody loves that I have an issue with or I don't really like as much. There's a few films I'd be interested to talk about.
Okay. Well, maybe we should do that. We should do, like, Salon de Refusé of films.
Exactly. So, yep, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Fabricius91, FabriciusNine1. Adam, you are at... Jesus. You are at the...
I'm not at Jesus. I'm not. No, that's not my account.
I live next to a busy road and there was a motorcyclist who wanted to, you know, he's trying to compensate for something, I think.
Okay, no, I am at the Northampton Dane on Twitter.
Cool.
And I'm on Instagram too.
I like Walter Cronkite. I'm also on Instagram.
At 11:46 this morning, adam.h.f.holmes. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to plug? WED, Du Bois, or anything
like that? Oh, as usual, yeah. The Du Bois Centre, where I work at UMass Amherst. We have, there's good content available through, which you can find through our website, which handles will link to, duboiscentre.umass.edu. We're on Twitter too, at Du Bois UMass, WED Du Bois Centre on Instagram. We're actually working on our own series of podcasts. It's been disrupted due to COVID, but we're getting there. But there are some other good stuff that you can find through our website. And I think I just generally recommend reading Du Bois and, you know, similar authors, because it just shows how the problems of our own time stretch back very far, and how, you know, a lot of people have known where the issues stem from for a very long time, and it just shows it's a more damning indictment of our society that we've spent so many decades without doing anything about it. I will get off my soapbox now and go and actually do my job.
Well, that, yeah, well said. Nothing more really to say, but yeah, stay safe, wear a mask, don't be a cunt.
Yeah, definitely don't be a cunt.
Yeah, have a good day, everyone.